I'm Jacqueline Lauren, and this is Realign with the Divine, conversations to know and flow. From breakdown to breakthrough, we'll be discussing self-help with modern-day healers as they share both the difficulties and fulfillments of their stories of awakening. We'll examine the common themes that connect all that walk the path back to their highest selves. As we recognize our patterns, programming, and reactions, we begin to restore our natural creativity and flow. While the process is a deeply personal one, it is helpful to remember that we are not alone. We are supported on this journey. Bringing our authentic selves and our unique gifts into the world is a choice that may require a great deal of courage. No more false facades. Our masks have been removed. Follow us and listen to our latest shows on realignwiththedivine.com. Joni Isinger received her Master of Social Work degree from Columbia University and holds a postgraduate certificate in Gestalt therapy. After 10 years in practice, her path took a detour when she became acutely chemically sensitive. As Joni healed, she became gifted with abilities that include hands-on healing, channeling departed ones and pets, automatic writing, and more. Joni offers readings via channeling where you may ask any question, finances, romance, family, career, pets, sexuality, weight loss, addiction, etc. She can jump into past lives, reveal why you are stuck, and assist with releasing karma. Joni can clear negative energies, activate healing hands, identify one's divine purpose, and activate one's DNA. She is an ordained reverend, has authored David's Guidance, A Book of Light, co-authored The Chakra Journey, and co-created Carry Me Crystals, Chakra Clearing and Oracle Card Deck. Joni offers readings on 4 live internet radio broadcasts, including WMNJ, Drew University. She was the recipient of Natural Awakenings Magazine's 2013 Natural Choice Award, recognizing her as overall contest winner and favorite energy healer in North Central New Jersey. Joni conducts psychic galleries and parties, consults for businesses, publishes articles, and writes and records songs. Her work boasts an international clientele. She is based in Central New Jersey. To learn more about Joni, please visit www.joniswhitelighthealing.com. Hi, I am Jacqueline Lauren, and today I am here with Joni Isinger of Joni's White Light Healing, and I have the pleasure of being in her home. Joni is a healer that I've been working with for a number of years myself, and it's very seldom that I get to be in her presence other than on Skype or on the phone. So it's lovely to be here. Thanks for having Realign with the Divine in your home today.
Thank you so much for driving all the way from Pennsylvania to see me so we can do this.
Anytime. Seriously.
I love this. I'm here if you need me.
So, Joni, can you explain a little about the work that you do with clients? I had never experienced anything like what you did before. So for people that have never gone to a psychic channel medium before, how would you explain what this process is like of doing a healing session with you?
Well, for me, it's quite simple. I have like a button or a knob that I turn on and off. So I keep my switch off when I'm living my everyday. But when I'm with a client, I wait and I listen to hear what they need. People come to me, they have issues, concerns, questions, stuck points. Could be about a situation in life. They want to know something about what's going on with a relationship. They have future questions. They have health issues. And no, I'm not a doctor. Please see your healthcare professional. This is for entertainment purposes only. And also, they have energy questions. And I get a bit of information regarding the first question they present, and then I turn that switch on. And then I open up my crown chakra just with a touch of that button, and I allow only the highest of Christ-like consciousness to come in. My information comes in via clairsentience, which is divine feeling, clairaudience, divine hearing, clairvoyance, divine seeing, claircognizance, divine knowing, clairsalience, which is divine smelling, and clairgustance, I believe, which is divine tasting. I've got the clairs going.
I haven't even heard the smelling one before.
Yes.
Never heard that before.
So as a result of the clairs coming in, I'm able to offer answers. I'm also a healer in that I am able to jump into other lifetimes to find out precipitating events that occurred in other concurrent lifetimes that tripped a person up, where there's karma, that would lead them in this lifetime to be blocked. I also can do psychic surgery. So I can look into a person's aura, chakra, their light body, and I could find out what's going on, and I could move things around, I can change consciousnesses out, etc. So a person can also ask for a general reading, and they say, hey, I don't have any questions, what do you get? And then I open myself up. Whatever the person's higher self wants to hear, along with what my guides and their guides deem is for their highest good to learn, is what comes to the fore and what comes out of me. It's a process that's very organic. It doesn't deplete me. And the person comes out of it with validation, support, clarification, and oftentimes they feel lighter.
And I'll say that I ended up finding you, if you remember, because I was doing a Google search on white light healing. Is there anything you can tell us to help our listeners understand what white light even really does or is?
Well, the white light healing came about from a dear friend, Heather, and we were talking about a business name, and she said, well, you're a white light healer. You're Joni's white light healing. And I thought about that. I hadn't really realized what I was and what I was doing in terms of white light healing. White light, in my belief system, is the highest frequency that exists. It's creation. It's all that is. It is love. And that if I am bringing in information where it comes out in the form of words here or out of my palms, or sometimes the healing comes out of my eyes or my mouth, or my heart, I believe that I'm only calling upon the highest of Christ's light, which is love, to come through me to that person for healing purposes. So white light healing to me is the pinnacle, the ultimate of the type of healing that I would want another person to receive if they came to me hurting and confused.
Excellent. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm not sure that everybody may have had that understanding of what white light healing was. Because you also do something called light language. Can you explain a little of what light language is?
Well, I'll get cosmic at the beginning, so I'm not from these them thar parts. I'm a star being, and I'm from Arcturus, the planet, and I channel two star languages. I channel Pleiadian, and I channel Sirian. And no, the Earth is not the only planet that exists, and there are many other wonderful star systems that are out there. And we come in, some of us come in as star seeds to inhabit human bodies in an incarnation to assist with the shift, the awakening. Star language is, I guess everything is a frequency, so we could say that languages are frequencies too. But when I turn that switch on and put out the intention that I'm speaking one of those two languages, there are people that I know that understand what I'm saying. I don't understand what comes out until I stop speaking, and then I ask them for a basic cursory explanation.
Of what that was.
Of what I just babbled.
What just added to the healing in a way that you weren't necessarily as a 3D being understanding.
Yes. And I first heard light language when another person started speaking it to me. And I fell to my knees and I started crying because my higher self knew what it was and I awakened. And I believe that when I speak it, other people are awakened to their knowing that they in fact are from the stars.
I just had an experience like that myself of hearing someone speak it to me, full body chills, and I brought tears to my eyes really quickly. And I just said, there's something I've been saying aloud for years now just to myself, and it was now repeated back to me, and it felt so amazing.
Beautiful.
To hear. You know, like I didn't know I needed that, and it was really confirming something for me.
Yes.
So I guess I know a little bit about your background and how you came to understand and utilize these gifts, but it would be great if you could explain some of what that process of awakening was like for you. And I know it was particularly difficult with a chemical sensitivity, but so if you want to get into
Sure. No, it's my pleasure. I find it very important for people to understand about what's called a dark night of the soul, and also for people to understand that there are light workers that are walking around that might appear to maybe have been unscathed, and look at that, and they could do all of these things, and I wish that I could do them too, yet many of us have gone through hard knocks in order to get here. I am a very, very old soul, and I've gone through many, many things in many, many lifetimes. And this is not the world's smallest violin. It's just the story of a typical lightworker. And in this lifetime, I had many allergies and sensitivities, and they became very, very strange. I also was losing medicines in that I became more and more allergic to them, and I would end up in the ER with anaphylaxis. And the sensitivities became that of newsprint. I would fall to the ground, wouldn't hit my head, but I would lose all muscle tone, and then I wouldn't be able to move or speak for about an hour. And it would be the new finish on clothing or new furniture, the automotive section, rubber. It became so acute. In 2003, I had an anaphylactic reaction to the town pool. It was chlorine. And as a result of that, I had to throw out all the chemicals that were in my home. What chemicals? Cosmetics, toiletries, and cleaning supplies. And I couldn't take any medicines at that point. That was the end of that. I became homebound shortly thereafter, and I couldn't open up windows or doors. And at one point, I couldn't even drink water. So the medical community thought I was crazy. I knew I wasn't because I watched the allergies and sensitivities creep up since childhood. And the mental health community thought that I was also out there. I was a psychiatric social worker for 10 years. I was a licensed clinical social worker in New York for 10 years. I did individual and group therapy with addicts, alcoholics, and the mentally ill. So, and I'm also a Gestalt therapist by trade. And so I knew that I hadn't, quote unquote, lost my mind. I knew this wasn't a psychotic break. So I ended up on an international message board with other people that were very scientific like me. I was very conventionally trained, and they were slowly dying. They were moving out to trailers in Arizona or caves that were tinfoil lined, and if they had a bacterial infection, they would die. Divinely, I was connected with an integrative doctor who tried to assist, and then he said, I can't help you anymore. Here's a chiropractor I know who specializes in multiple chemical sensitivities, or MCS.
So when all of this was happening, you hadn't yet had the awakening piece of the equation yet.
I was a sleeper. I was a Reformed Jew. I was trained in that that religious belief system. My dad's a Holocaust survivor, and it was quite hardcore. It wasn't drummed in. It's just I loved it. I was a God believer, but I was also very scientific. So everything was the observable and reportable. So I didn't believe in ghosts or the soul and angels, reincarnation, resurrection, nothing. So I was very, very closed, very medical model. And then in my training as a social worker, I worked closely with psychiatrists and meds. I also had many, many medical problems, many illnesses, surgeries. I faced my mortality several times before this dark night of the soul when I was allergic to everything.
So as if the near-death experiences weren't enough to bring it in, you're going to have to go through extra, Joni.
Exactly. That's what happened. And it took several phone calls to allow this man to come to my house. And he was doing alternative medicine via muscle testing and allergy elimination. He asked me whether I had ever heard of these PBS special folks, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay. My family wouldn't even listen to Leo Biscaglia, who was on PBS talking about love and hugs. So no, my answer to him was no. He said, well, you might want to read this book. It's called The Power of Intention by Wayne Dyer. Well, it was time. I believe it was preordained, pre-birth planned for me to have an awakening at that point, and I started reading.
Can I stop you for one second?
Absolutely.
And have you explain a little about what pre-birth planning is?
Sure. So we travel with soul groups, and we gather together before an incarnation on Earth, and we decide many, many specs, whether we will play the part of a man or a woman, although we are divinely masculine or divinely feminine. But we can play the opposite sex if we wish. We choose our parents, our siblings, if we have any. We choose when we're going to get born, where we'll be born. And we put our skill set down, what we'll look like, what our IQ is. And then we put a few more things down, whether we'll get married, have kids, what our occupation might be, if we even work, etc. We even put down exit opportunities when we might choose to leave and go back home.
Thanks. That's really helpful for people to hear.
Right. So it was pre-birth planned that I got knocked over the head with MCS, with this acute situation. And
but that information that came to you later?
Later. Okay. I did not know what the heck was going on when all this, the gifts did not start coming through.
So with the knowledge you have now, you were able to put all these puzzle pieces together to make to create a better understanding of what you were going through then.
Yes, and I'm so grateful that I understand, that I can put meaning to what I felt was a victim experience. Mm-hmm. And now I believe there are no victims. So I
think a lot of times we have to go through being victimized to realize that we can rise out of that.
Yes, and that's an opportunity for the soul to grow, mm-hmm. is to play the part of a victim in order for us to say, hey, wait a minute, but I can do this, I can do that. And if I transcend, I can actually move out of that belief.
Because I think that's one way to learn here in this 3D reality is to explore both polarities.
Well, I could have gone the other route. I could have died. Uh-huh. So if I had chosen not to see this chiropractor, I would have been dead. So yes, every crossroads is an opportunity, and I have...
For spiritual growth.
Correct. Okay. And I've taken the high road on all counts. Every time I've been faced with adversity, I've always chosen the high road, and I'm still here. It's kind of miraculous that I'm still here. It's my soul. It's who I am. So I started reading, and I loved it, and I was only reading things that were high vibration. I wasn't reading anything of low vibration. I wasn't reading anything dark where you can abuse the light and abuse gifts.
Can I have you explain a little about high vibration and low vibration?
Sure. So the highest vibration is love, and the lowest vibration would be fear.
And this is something that has crept into pretty mainstream culture. People use the term high vibe or low vibe all the time, but there's a bit more to it than that.
Absolutely. And that people can throw that out there like, yeah, you vibe well with me, but actually that's actually so. Everything is a frequency. And the higher the frequency, you're moving towards enlightenment. And the lower the frequency, you're moving very, very far away from love, which would possibly go towards that of evil. We could use that term. So I was reading inspiring pieces, and they were energy psychology and souls and pre-birth planning and energy medicine and things about past lives and psychic this and that. And I had no idea what was going to happen to me. My energy guy was saving my life. I would still have reactions. I, as you can see, I have a life now. I don't have a mask, and I'm healed. I would still venture out, but I would have reactions. And if I felt that I was going to go down or my throat would close up, I would call him. He didn't even have to pick up. And then he would do an emergency treatment over another realm, and my throat would open up, or I'd get up off the floor.
So you sort of had to become an immediate believer because this was saving your life.
I had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But what hit me is that if he dropped dead one day, the next day, I could die, and that I had a dependency on him, and that, Joni, don't play that.
Well, there's the victim again.
Right. Yeah. And I wasn't going to go in that direction.
I'm going to heal myself now.
Beautiful. Exactly. So, and I already had some fund of knowledge because I had been reading a lot. I couldn't get enough. So my son had reactive airways, which is like low-level asthma, bronchitis. He'd have the nebulizer with the mask and the medicine in it. And he'd say, you know, hey, mommy, come and, you know, do the nebulizer. And I did. I thought, well, let's try something. So I put my hands on either side of his chest. And I felt energy pour out. Closed my eyes. I saw white light. And I said, please heal this child of God. So in my Jewish tradition, we don't say those things. So I had no idea where that came from. He'd stop coughing. Then if he had future episodes, mommy, mommy, do hands-on healing. And I would do this, and he'd stop coughing. Then I thought, well, you know, my guy, my energy guy is doing distance healing on me, remote healing. I'm going to try that on my kid. Before I go into him, let's see if it works. And I stuck my hand out from underneath the pillow, and I'm in another room. I'm in my bedroom. I put out the intention to have the love pour out of my palm. So it comes in through my head, my crown chakra, the love, comes out of my palm, my minor chakra, and shoots through another realm right over to him. He stopped coughing. If I could quote David Letterman, these are the stupid human tricks that I was developing. And I thought, my goodness, the kid in the candy store. Well, at that point, the switch was on, and I was on a new path. I was awakening. People would say they lost departed ones and pets, and I started channeling them. Joni somehow knew what to do, so she somehow moved her spirit aside and allowed for souls to come in. I was doing deep trance channeling where they took over my whole body, and light trance channeling where I was more in control of the situation. The other side, the blessed souls, departed ones and pets, would bless me with the rapture. Again, not a Jewish concept. What's the rapture? When you pass and you go through that white tunnel of light and you return home because you're home again. Hallelujah. I'm hit with blessed joy. So they would hit me. I would be on my knees crying hysterically, wail crying with joy. My physical body could not handle the amount of love that they were throwing to me. And that's what's on the other side. So now Joni the Jew, as I lovingly call myself, I'm having this existential religious crisis.
I would imagine.
Because what the heck's going on here? My hands are out like Jesus.
You've just had a lot of things happen. How do you integrate this?
Exactly.
And it was all happening so quickly.
Very quickly. And I had just been so sick, and I had thought that I was going to die, as Rosanna Dana might say. And now here I am with pets coming through me. It's crazy. But I'm loving it because it felt right.
So there was no fear. Or maybe there was fear around.
Was there any fear? I had no fear. And this was a trip. So I go from the conventionally trained one to what's in her bag of tricks next? So I started being able to see into bodies, and I started seeing the aura, which is the energy field outside of someone's body. I could see the chakras. I learned about them, the energy fields inside a person's body. I was putting my hand up to mirrors and putting out the intention I was going to go through them, and I would. My spirit would go through a mirror and go into other dimensions. I was clearing homes remotely and clearing negative energies out of people. And jumping into past lives, and it went on. So religiously, I was at a crossroads, and I went to Leviticus in the Old Testament, and it said that I was a soothsayer, and God saith, that's bad, and I'm not quoting. And I went to my rabbi, and it didn't work out so well. And a month later, I left religion, and I became a reverend in a spiritual church in name only, and I embrace the concept of what's called unity consciousness, which means we're all one, we're all connected as one. Every breath, every lint ball and piece of furniture and soul, every single thing you see and don't see, we're all one. And that's my journey. That's what happened to Joni.
It's a fascinating story. So at some point in there, you changed from the traditional therapy, counseling kind of route into full-time healer?
Yes. And what I found fascinating is that I became a therapist first to be able to understand addictions, personality disorders, mood disorders, sociopathy, eating disorders, etc., the diagnoses, the gamut.
And I think that this is one thing that really distinguishes Joni from a lot of other healers, the fact that she has that type of a background that's really formal education. So I think it makes you that much better at what you do because you kind of switch back and forth when you do sessions from Joni to the Unity Conscious Joni.
Thank you. I do believe it was a pretty good pre-birth plan decision to make and that I do refer people for therapy. And I do send people on if I feel that I can't help them, that they need third dimensional group work or 12-step, or if they're so risky, maybe they need to go to the hospital. I don't claim to be that doctor or that therapist. I don't work in that capacity anymore, but I do use the training and my counseling skills with all the people that I work with.
That's great. So I'm sort of wondering, other than the physical stuff and having to sort through religious beliefs, were there any other major shifts that had to happen? Or other than the belief system breaking down, what else had to break down? You know, they say that healing is much like peeling an onion. So there's many, many layers to it. So was it as you started to work with people, you were being healed at the same time on emotional issues? I don't know, whatever it was that you had to deal with, whatever baggage you came in with, was that happening as you worked with people?
I feel blessed that I did a lot of work before this happened. And that's why I believe that I'm able to do many things now. That it hit me and there
was a preparation phase.
It was a preparation that I was in therapy in my 20s for over 7 years on and off. A lot of personal work. And then many therapists also are healing as they are facilitating therapy mm-hmm. sessions. So between my personal therapy and my working with other people and learning from my guiding them, and then having read so much about acceptance, forgiveness, gratitude, being in the now, releasing your fears, shedding yourself of folks who are in your circle that might be holding you back.
Or just straight up toxic.
Or straight up toxic. I was eating very well, so I've been organic for quite a long time, and I was drinking a lot of water, and I don't do drugs, and I hardly drink alcohol. It's like practically nothing. And I don't do sugar and I don't do caffeine. I don't even do decaf. I set something up there.
I will vouch that she is really a very pure channel at this point. Because anytime she tries something, no.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You want to keep her pure.
Yeah, I tried Cocoa Maya spice tea. I really wanted it, and it was decaf tea. Oh, my gosh, it messed me up so much. And like, okay, I got the point, folks. I got the point. No decaf anything. So they wanted me to be worked on personally. They wanted my body to be very pure. They didn't want excitants, caffeine. They didn't even want me to have any darn coffee, which I miss.
Damn.
Yeah, I say. And so I have no regrets. I'd rather be woke and be as pure a channel as possible for everyone.
So along with the healing abilities, did you start to notice things that were going on in the world and seeing them in a new light?
Yes.
Both the good and the bad.
The biggest thing that I have seen is that people don't know that this is an earth school. This is a playground. This is a movie set or a stage. And that if everyone knew that this is a golden opportunity, we love this place. It's not a carousel of chaos. This is a playground of free will for a soul growth opportunity where there are no victims. If people knew this, they would have meaning behind everything that went on in their life and goes on today.
So let's say that they're able to let that concept in, that this is a playground and that we're here and we're making a movie and it can be whatever we want. How would you suggest, or do you have any tips on how to move through things quicker to gain that higher consciousness, to access that higher vibration that we really all have access to?
Well, one thing I would say is for people to look into the concept of unity consciousness, because if people are focused on making their own movie, they might still think that it's service to self, that it's all about them. But really, we're all connected. And that there's a combination of service to other as well, that we are here to assist our fellow souls. So I believe that if one can understand that we are all connected as one, that there's a ripple effect. My negative thought not only hurts me, but it hurts you and it hurts everything. Not just a living being. It'll hurt the furniture. It'll hurt a nightstand. It'll hurt anything. Once you embrace that we are a collective of love, then you would think twice about judgment. You would think twice about gimme, me, me narcissism. You would think twice about abusing your body, which is a temple that houses your spirit. You would eat better, you'd rest, you'd drink water, your decisions would change, you would love thy neighbor as thyself, you would put yourself in someone else's shoes, and you would never, ever think, well, if they only walked a mile in my shoes, then they would understand, because everyone would be walking in everyone else's shoes along with their own.
And at the same time, if we're talking past life experiences, they probably have. It's like we're here to experience everything that there is to experience, right?
Yes. To get into past lives, some people aren't familiar with what a past life is. If I might for a moment, people might have heard the expression, there's no such thing as time. People might have heard the concept linear time. This is a third dimensional planet where we have clocks and watches. We can refer to something that's happened before, during, and after. But in fact, outside of a third dimensional reality, when we go back home upon passing, we are in a multiverse, multidimensional holographic experience where it's not just this playground, it's many other playgrounds that are happening simultaneously. So we like to say past life and talk about another lifetime where we've had an incarnation as if it happened before. But in fact, it's happening at the same time.
Is the same thing happening when we're asleep?
Yes. So sleep just means we're resting our physical body. It doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean that anything has stopped. It just means that we're resting. And other lifetimes affect all the other lifetimes. So if a person has a deja vu, or if a person feels that they've been somewhere else, and it's not a deja vu, but they have a memory of another place, it's not that it happened before, it's happening now.
There's a concept you've used when we've worked together that's the bleed-through effect.
That's
so you see that a lot.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to. So if a person comes to me and talks about why they're biting their nails, and they have no idea, and they've tried everything. They've gone for therapy. They've done everything. I jump in. I put out the intention of finding where that began. It's almost always karmic. There's some imbalance. I find another lifetime where it began. It might not have anything to do with the person that they bit their nails somewhere else. They might have been in a nail-biting situation. Or they couldn't grasp onto something. They didn't have quite a hold on it. There's a lot of metaphor that spirit uses, where language is just so embraced in terms of emotions and then physical manifestations. And then I go over to that place where the person got tripped up. Almost always, it's karmic in that the person blamed themselves and or other, hence incurring karma towards self or other. They pass in that lifetime, and that affects this lifetime. When we do the forgiveness work over there, we just intend that we're forgiving ourselves, forgiving others. There, the karmic bindings are released, and it frees the person up here so that they might go forward. They have the opportunity to shift. They have, in fact, done that on an energetic level, but each soul has the opportunity, whether they desire to, in fact, change their behavior.
So they have to be ready to make that change.
Absolutely.
They sort of have to ask for it or use intention and become conscious of it before that's going to shift.
Exactly. If a person comes to me, or even if a person comes to you professionally and they say that they want you to design something, market, brand, whatever it is, they could say that they want it and you could present many things, but if it's being rejected or tweaked or it's a ping pong fest, the chances are they're not ready. And that no matter how exquisite an idea you have presented to them, it won't stick because on their end, they're not ready to receive. That goes with anything. A teacher could be imparting information to a student, and if they're not ready, it doesn't go in. So when I offer information in the form of messages or a healing, and if a person is done, they've had it, they are so willing to shift, it's boom.
It's instant.
It's instant. Mm-hmm. If a person is skeptical, it just doesn't seem to jive, doesn't work. If a person has been traumatized here and or in other lifetimes and there are more layers of this onion that you mentioned about the peeling, then it might take more sessions in I felt kind of good and then it dropped again and I lost it. And I knew I needed to see you because there's more work in that area. So it doesn't mean that they blocked it. It means that there were more energetic blocks here and or elsewhere.
What's interesting sometimes is that when two people come together, my understanding of energy is that, let's say one person is at a higher vibration and the other is at a lower, to be able to tolerate one another, either the person that's at a lower vibration is going to have to shift and go up, or it's just going to be a nightmare and they're going to want to get away from the higher vibrating person. Would you agree?
Absolutely. When you have that dichotomy, the lower vibrating person is often drawn to the higher vibrating person because darkness is drawn to light. A lower vibration wants to feel better. So they find themselves with that happier, spunkier, introspective person, whatever it is. Ooh. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to latch on and look at them as a role model. They might reject them and turn away, but they also might instigate and they might poke and try and bring them down to their level. And that, again, isn't what you can control. You're just offering your knowingness, your beingness, and then they get to choose what they're going to do with you.
And you do run into that when you're doing healing work in somebody having attachments or cords of energy. So I know you do a lot of that type of work too. Can you explain like an energetic cord?
Right. Now, at one point in my earlier years, I was doing cord cutting, and there are many healers that like to cut cords. I was doing that for a while, and then I realized that cords could redevelop. So instead, I began putting out the intention that I would cut a cord for it not to be replicated again. But I moved away from doing that. So the type of work I do where it has to do with attachments with other people is really more about karma. It's about in this lifetime and or others, if there's any karma between the two of you where you blame yourself and or them, let's do the forgiveness work. And that seems to be more of a full clean sweep for me than something that is a cord, which is more like quantifiable it seems more narrow to me than just putting out the intention we're going across time and space, forwards and backwards across all generations. Your higher self leads the show, not me. You and your guides with my higher self and my guides are going to help you go around creation to find the lifetimes where there are negative attachments or cords, aka karma, disagreement, wherever there's imbalance between you and, let's say, another soul. Gather them up, ball them all up, and then you forgive yourself and you forgive everyone and everything. Ask for their forgiveness and thank God for these life lessons.
So you've had to become very careful with and choose your words very selectively when doing healing work on other people. How important do you find our language to be in effective healing?
It's ginormous.
That's interesting that you say that, because when the times when I feel like I'm channeling and I'm really in the flow of things and I'm writing things down, it is always language that comes to me. And this is the way to set a proper intention to get a result.
You got it, honey. I love talking about language. I used to be a linguistics major in the past. Just, for example, the words sympathy and pity versus empathy and compassion. I learned that if you offer sympathy and pity, I feel bad for them, all of that, you're actually sending a lower vibration to the soul and or situation. If you, and it also makes you at a higher level than they. Whereas if you offer compassion and empathy and you offer heartfelt love and healing, you remain on the same level because we are all one. There's no better or less than. There's no higher or lower. We're all equal. And then that affords that soul the opportunity for a full healing, of a more optimal healing versus sympathy and pity. It's not to say sympathy and pity won't assist the person.
That they don't have a place.
But when we know the difference using language. Language breaks down into frequency. Frequency is code. We can raise things with frequency and we can lower them. Language does that as well.
So I'll just use an example that happened within the past 24 hours to me. And it was the word nice versus kindness. And those, in my mind, have very different frequencies. For some reason, I always wanted to be seen as nice. And I'm realizing, I don't know if I want to be nice. I'd much rather be kind. Nice feels a little too passive, and I don't really get to speak my truth enough with nice.
Nice also, many English teachers and English professors don't like the word nice in essays and papers because it is quite empty, that it's bland. And it doesn't mean that the word isn't a good word, but it isn't as descriptive. It doesn't have the weight and I guess the description as kindness. And yes, in certain cases, someone being nice could be hiding and they might not be in their power or speaking their truth. They're just going to be known as nice because they don't want to cause any ripples.
Mm-hmm. But the classic martyr.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But nice for another soul, maybe they've never been nice. So to be nice when they were mean is such an improvement. So again.
So you are moving up the ladder there in that sense, but there's many levels.
There are so many interpretations of nice. And in your case, nice was too ambiguous and too passive. For another, it could elevate them in terms of their soul's development where they're free. So judgment on a word, difficult. I was being a little 3D, so I claim that. But I do understand what you're saying in terms of it being more amorphous and not coming from that throat chakra where you're expressing yourself.
So can we talk a little bit about manifestation and creating your reality?
Sure. I love talking about that. The law of attraction. Ooh, it's so debatable. So many people saw the movie or read the book called The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And it has to do with a universal law where your thoughts create your reality, where thought creates form and you could manifest what you desire. Well, there are a few caveats to that. You would be able to manifest something with your thoughts, something that you desire, if it's for your highest good. If you have made any vows or said any nevers in this lifetime, like I'll never get a new car, and you've said it vehemently, and you might have said it somewhere else too, you're blocking yourself from manifesting that.
It's pretty ingrained.
Ingrained. You could have negative energies that are working to your disadvantage, that are countering the steps that you're taking to manifest something. It might be a timing issue that you might want it so badly, but you're not seeing it happen because it's not time yet. It might be that you are very off track and what you're looking for is something that is not attainable in this lifetime. not for your highest good, that might also be part of it, but where it's unrealistic. So in that, where many people have thought that it was bunk, that concept of law of attraction, it's because they didn't share a lot of those caveats.
What about when somebody feels like they're just kind of endlessly attracting negative circumstances in? What would you tell them, or how can they shift that, or what do they have to identify in themselves for that to stop happening? Because I think a lot of people can be very skeptical about anything law of attraction or creating your own reality.
Sometimes people are attracting negativity because they have other lifetimes that have stuck them, and they have karma, and that it's a repeat performance, and that they were here, they pre-birth planned in this lifetime to have it happen again because they need to forgive themselves and or other. I'd say that sometimes people are their quote-unquote worst enemy, where they're sabotaging themselves here in 3D, and they need therapy, where they need to see how they might say that they want something, but they're countering it with sabotage. There could be negative energies again. There are hexes, curses, and spells, which we got to get into that. That's that cosmic negative stuff, too. There are negative energies that are at play that affect this lifetime. It could be from this lifetime or another, or others, where negative energies were placed on a soul and they kibosh someone's abundance here. So there are many factors that go into why a person spins their wheels or why they keep attracting something over and over again. Karmic forgiveness work is usually the best option. I like going in. I like seeing what other lifetimes occurred where that might be the deal also.
What if you're working with somebody that's a little too cosmic for their understanding? Will the work still happen, or do they have to be hip to the karmic?
Usually the person will go along with it even if they're quite skeptical, because they're in such a loop that they want it to stop. I can assist with the karmic work, but if they are sabotaging themselves, they might continue doing it if they don't want to stop. But if they aren't sabotaging themselves and there was a vow or a never that they made somewhere else, and, well, let's say here, and they're aware of it, that they did that, and now, so, you know, we have to get rid of this. They are grateful because they don't want to be in the same place. Now, I will say there's something called the Akashic Records, and the Akashic Records is like the library in space. It's cosmic and it's holy, and one can enter. I don't recommend anyone just saying, hey, show me the Akashic Records. There are guards, and you have to know what you're doing in order to get entry. I go in and I, with intention, and I can find out where a person might have made a vow or a never. They might have said something in some lifetime or here that was so loud, I will never marry again, or I can't stand guys with black hair. And it was so vehement that it made like an imprint, and it affected all of their lifetimes, including this one. So I asked the person, would you like to get rid of this? And they're like, yes, 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 yes. And then I see myself with their higher self, and they're usually their angels or guides. And then I see this through my third eye, the clairvoyance. And I assist them in ridding this energy imprint from their incarnations. Doesn't mean that what they said goes away, because everything that has happened remains in history for all time and space. But the energy that accompanied it, that blocked them, that stuck them good, that gets released. And I see movement forward. People report that they can go forward afterwards.
And people can shift pretty quickly from
yes,
that.
Yes.
It can be instant.
It can be instant.
Can you explain a little bit about the planetary shift that we're all experiencing right now? Hmm. And maybe what we can do if we're having a little trouble living in these sort of multiple timelines at once?
Mm-hmm. Well, some people might have heard of the Age of Aquarius, the Golden Age, the Shift, the Great Awakening. This is a time in Earth's history where we have the opportunity to move from a third dimensional consciousness to a fifth dimensional consciousness, where we are working in a unity consciousness concept. Every 26,000 plus years, the Earth goes through a revolution, through an epoch, E-P-O-C-H. Atlantis, Lemuria, the dinosaurs, the Ice Age, the Flood. These are times when spirit took the needle off of the record player and said, zzz, and there's a stop, and then there's a redo. Well, we're at a very auspicious time. We chose to be born at this time so we could see this event happen. This planet was originally modeled to be a love planet, and I will say it was hijacked, so it's not operating in the way that it was set out to. There is a movement now for its recapture. I don't want to get into any doom and gloom and sound eerie. Woo! It's a battle of light and dark right now, and this is for the retaking of the Earth.
And I feel like that's almost showing up in the things that are happening culturally, separating people.
Yes, that there is a movement to separate people so they do not ascend or learn that they are of the divine, that they are of the oneness, and that by believing many, many things that are being imparted through the media, people, their anger comes up, their fear comes up, and then they start judging and separating. That's the exact opposite of what we need to do. We need to pull out from the drama. I do recommend alternative media very much. And that I believe that if people remain centered, they go with their gut, they drink water, they get sunshine, they rest as much as possible, they eat cleanly, they connect with high vibrating like-minded souls, I believe that they will start attracting more of this. When there is an exponential mass that is achieved, shifts not only happen personally, but they happen on a collective level. This chaotic time that we're experiencing is a brilliant, phenomenal, wonderful time. Eat the popcorn, I say. Enjoy the show.
Some of our listeners may be receiving a lot of information or energetic downloads and not quite know how to make sense of those. I know, at least in my own process, sometimes I'm like, how do I integrate this? And you can't always go to a healer. Some of the work has to be done just you by yourself. So do you have any suggestions on doing sort of this integration work alone?
Okay, good question. I run a spiritual discussion group. I have another group on Facebook, and people put that out there about dreams, about experiences that they've had, and they put it out there because they need support and they want validation. They want to know if other people are experiencing it as well. And we can't just all of a sudden just start doing healings on each other. We have our lives. We go on to see what people are saying. We answer and we leave. And even in the discussion group, there's only an allotted time when we're together. And so what we offer people, we offer the support. Many of us have experienced weird sensations or meanings in dreams. Ultimately, without having to go to a healer or a psychic for the definition of what has just transpired, trust that everything is unfolding divinely. If it doesn't feel right, if it feels like you might have been psychically attacked, you can put out the intention with the other side to blast white light down through your chakras to rid yourself of any negative energies. You can take an Epsom salt bath, a sea salt bath. You can put crystals around you. If you need to see a healer regarding anything that's of a negative vibration, that's a good idea. Be aware of any psychic that is asking for tons of money to take negative energies off of you, because usually they're scammers. The most amount of money I've ever heard someone playing in the dark ask for was $33,000.
Ouch.
Yes.
Did they get it?
Yes. So, in terms of downloads, activations, sensations, knowings, there's an awakening going on. The veil is thinning. People are able to go through and remember who they are and what their abilities are. You and everyone is hardwired the same way as am I. There is no difference between you and me. We all have the ability to channel with all of those clairs that I mentioned earlier. We all have the ability to heal. It's just a matter of if the person has spiritually developed along where they can, if they've put out the intention that they would consider doing it in this lifetime, and whether they're skeptical and even believe that it's possible.
So that's sort of making me think about the medical system versus this type of healing. And I think that they both have a place, especially because some people may not be able to realize that they have the capacity to heal themselves because of all of the disempowerment that has happened. So this idea of learning to re-empower ourselves for our own healing is very important. But there, if you're too far past things and your belief system is too rigid, that may not be a realistic possibility for a lot of people. So what would you say to those people that are in the medical system and dealing with a number of doctors, a number of medications? How can they use this type of healing work with what they're doing with a medical professional?
I'll even add that not just medical, I'll also say therapy, because that's also still where some people would just stick with the belief that it's the therapy, it's what I experienced in this lifetime, but they won't necessarily consider other lifetimes. So to add the therapy community and the medical community together, mm-hmm. if people are in that belief system, they're exactly where they're to be. No one is not where they're supposed to be. It's perfection. So I was trained hardcore in that, in the medical model. And I was exactly where I was supposed to be, but the universe catapulted me. That it just turned out that way. But for those that aren't catapulted, it's okay. That they need to be where they're at. If it's not broken, don't fix it. Well, a person might have pre-birth planned to be medical model because they might have been so out there airy-fairy that they needed to go to a doctor and they died precipitously because they needed to seek medical attention and they were too stubborn. And so they decided to put themselves in the medical so they could embrace that whole piece that they rejected so steadfastly. So what I would recommend a person who questions who's in those models, in the therapy or the medical model.
Maybe they've started down
maybe.
That route.
I'd say ask questions. I'd say people come to me when they can't, people come to me when the medical and the therapy community don't have any more answers. A woman came to me and she was asking questions about her daughter who's mentally ill. She got her information regarding all of the psychiatrists and she wanted to know more and I was able to fill in the holes. People come to me regarding the medical and I add more that I would never expect a doctor to answer. That's their paradigm that within their working and I have a paradigm within which I'm working. People find it fascinating to come to be in both worlds because they continue to work on their personal issues and then I can help them understand where their issues came from and what their soul is working on in this lifetime, what the theme is and how long, like how many, are you an old soul? Yeah, you've been working on that. That's old. That one, you're still working on that. Or you were curious about it. You wanted to see what it would be like to have that hang up. And so you decided to have a hang up here. And that's why it's happening today.
Would there be a way for me to maybe ask a couple of questions? And if I do that and you respond to them, is everyone sort of getting the same healing if it was necessary to apply to them?
Always. That's why I like to do group readings or gallery events where I'm in front of a group of people and one person asks a question and everyone else hears the response because divine messages are healing and the chances are in some way you can relate to it or you know someone who's going through something similarly and you can help them out by telling them afterwards. So please, what questions do you have?
I would say is there anything that can be lifted or shifted or that would be helpful to know about that is blocking me from my higher self?
The first thing they see is that you have a need to know. and that if you would let that go and you let yourself not know, you'd be free. Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel that there are certain areas of your life where you need to know more than others, or is it generally about everything?
I would say I'm pretty nosy and kind of want to get to the bottom of things.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in and find out whether this is your essence and this is just the way you roll, or whether there's something that might not be in balance and that it's blocking you. I'm going to go in. Little bit of both. So you had an herb farm and you had a lot of people working for you, and there were a lot of plants. And for those of you who are listening, this is another lifetime we're talking about. I know Jackie, she doesn't have an herb farm in this lifetime. This is another lifetime. You were a man. And you'd sit there and you'd watch, you'd oversee, but every now and then you'd go outside and you'd pick and you'd taste. There was a lot of chewing. But you were very curious, so that was wanting to know, and that was the analyst, the scientist, the curiosity. There were a few others that were in the field, and they were growing different things. They were assisting migrants, and every now and then, I see them tasting, but they didn't feel very good. One fell ill. It was a control issue. You wanted them to assist with the tasting, but you also didn't want them to do that as well. So you took over, because someone fell ill in the tasting category, you forbade them to do that part. That was going to be your part. There's a little bit of a fear. If I don't know, let me go in again, because it has to do with someone falling ill. You took responsibility for it. I know. You had a guilt because you let someone else test for you, and you were letting them do the inquisition. They were really very involved in the analysis, and something bad happened. So your soul has, well, I better do all of the analysis, because if I give it to someone else, something could go wrong with this, and I don't want to be responsible. What do you think of that?
That's very interesting. I mean, part of what's giving me the background to even put together this Realign with the Divine show is having used myself rather endlessly as a guinea pig with so many different things that I knew nothing about. So that actually makes perfect sense.
And that's also learning by opposites. So you became the tester who fell ill. You might not have fallen ill, but as a result of your guilt, which we'll get rid of this with the forgiveness work, you pre-birth planned before coming in here that you were going to play the part of that other tester that could fall ill by being a guinea pig, because you were so guilty that you put themselves through that. Hmm. Now, doesn't mean that to be a tester, to be the guinea pig for someone, is a bad thing. There's no judgment on this. It just is. But the motivation behind your pre-birth plan is a result of the imbalance, the unforgiveness towards self. Let's get rid of it, shall we?
Please.
Okay. And we're going to...
So I'm not going to need to know after this.
You're always...
I'm just going to be.
You're going to be more balanced with your knowing, and you might reject some guinea pig experiences where it's like, you know what? I don't have to do that. Let someone else take care of that. I don't have to be your first trial run tester. I don't have to do that. It's okay. I'm busy. Or I'm not interested even. Or I don't have to do them a favor. It's okay. So I also like doing this as well, because there might be other lifetimes that I didn't pick up that also contribute to this. So we'll make it bigger. Across time and space, forwards and backwards, across all generations, were there any lifetimes, including the one where you were an herb farmer and the person fell ill and you had guilt, where this soul here has a block regarding moving forward, because she always has to know? And we ball them all up and you say inside, I forgive myself. Mm-hmm. There are about 200 lifetimes of this. There are about 2,500 lifetimes that have the theme, but the first 200 are the ones that have the biggest kick. Okay. Forgive everyone and everything in person, including the person who fell ill and the plants. Ask for everyone's forgiveness. Please, all of you, forgive me because I had unforgiveness towards you. Mm-hmm. Thank God for these life lessons. Mm-hmm. Between now and when you go to sleep, sip water because it will help negative energies flush through your physical body. For the people who are listening to this podcast, I do want to say that the reason why I say God and thank God for these life lessons, I don't mean God in terms of a being separate from us. I believe that we're all God's sparks and we're all connected as one. But I use it more colloquially. I use it casually for people to wrap their head around that phrase, you know, to be grateful for this life lesson opportunity.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have any other questions?
I just want to share what I guess I noticed, which was like a vibrating sensation that was all in my head. Mm. And that was interesting to me because what we were talking about was this idea of knowing, which is such a thought in our head type process. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm curious of what life would be like if instead of having to know everything, I just knew by feeling.
I believe that our knowing comes from our heart, and that's where our brain is. So when you say feeling, okay, it's semantics. So you say feeling and I say heart knowing, same thing. It's the gut. When we go out of our head and into our heart, that's where our guidance is. Our head, our mind, our brain, our intellect is used for analysis. It's for measuring and understanding, comprehending, remembering, retrieving information. When we get stuck there, or we think that our brain is going to have our answers and guide us, then we move away from center. When we are in better check with this and we go to our heart for the knowing, people say, a gestalt therapist, I'm a trained gestalt, go inside. It's not go inside your head, it's go inside your body. Or a spiritualist, go into your heart. What is your heart saying? Or go into your gut, another phrase. Or what's your divine guidance telling you? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Ha! Usually the first thing that comes to mind is your divine guidance, which is in your heart, not your head. But we say mind, but it's really your heart. So what would it be like? Ooh, what a world. We would be doing things for our highest good. We wouldn't be second-guessing ourselves. Fear would go down very, very much. Our first attempts at things would probably be right. We would be connecting more with people. We would feel better about ourselves. We would be on track with our missions.
So being heart-centered is part of realignment.
Yes.
Well, I think that is a perfect segue to ending our podcast. And I want to thank Joni so much. This was really beautiful. And I think we've talked about a vast amount of topics here.
We covered a lot of things in the cosmos.
So I would love for you to say your web address again for everyone and any other way that you'd like to be reached.
Sure. First of all, I want to thank you so much for coming and doing this. This was so much fun. And I really appreciate being able to talk about what I've learned. People can find me. I'm in central New Jersey. For those of you who are local, I do in-person sessions for folks. And for folks who aren't, I do phone and Skype. And also, now I do Facebook video. That's another thing I do, too. You can find me at www.joanieswhitelighthealing.com. So that's Joanies, white as in the color, light as in turn on the light, joniswhitelighthealing.com. You could find me on Facebook, Joni's White Light Healing fan page. If you'd like to friend me on Facebook, it's Joni Isinger, E-I-S as in Sam, I-N-G-E-R. But please, in the message box, say how you found me, because I'm not friending folks I don't know. I'm on LinkedIn under Joni Isinger. I'm on Twitter at Joni Isinger. And I sing and record a little bit. So you could find me on SoundCloud at Joni Isinger. No, let's see. No, it's at Joni Isinger. At Joni Isinger, but drop the J. And I have a YouTube channel. So type in Joni Isinger and you'll find many, many videos.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Realign with the Divine and helping us create a more beautiful and conscious world. Visit us on the web at www.realignwiththedivine.com and follow us on Instagram at jacqueline.lauren.design. Please subscribe to Realign with the Divine on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Many thanks. Namaste.